And Lois and I can tell you that a high school class this morning came up with 10 questions in the first minute, so the pressure's on.
You're given your new book of poetry, the title?
Journeys.
Journeys, that's right.
Journeys.
And you're working on a book of essays, too. Can you say a word about that?
I had written some essays for a couple of magazines, and originally, you know, way back when, probably when I was in about junior high, I think essay writing really had a lot of appeal to me. Now, having, although there's a lot of struggle writing with poetry, there has to be more pleasure, or I wouldn't do it. So now I'm finding that I have to struggle to convince myself to try prose. And sometimes when I sit down to work on an essay, I just think, you know, oh, there are just so many words. I wish I could just sit and write a poem about this. But there are some things that I feel I really want to say, and sometimes I think using prose is a way of reaching another audience. And that there are people who, rightly or wrongly, you know, feel if it's in poetry, I'm not going to understand it, I'm not going to tackle it. So I am working on a collection of essays, probably the themes very related to a lot of what my poetry is. I have an essay about the aunt that I mentioned who is very, very important to me. There's an essay about her. And poems about, you know, being a Chicana or Mexican American. Poems about something I've become very interested in the last year and a half, which is the cultural conservation movement and trying to motivate people to treasure their ethnic heritage regardless of what it is. That's really important to me. So I am going to have some essays about that.
On that note, are you, what do you consider yourself, a Chicana writer or a writer or a Mujer writer?
Well, I probably consider myself a writer, but I don't have any trouble with someone saying, well, she's a Chicana writer or she is a women writer. That doesn't bother me at all. Yeah, I mean, that's what I am, and it's a big part of what I write about. I can certainly understand the other side, and I understand writers or artists who say, don't put any kind of an adjective, you know, I am a writer or I am a painter, and I don't want to be, I can understand that. It's just something that doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought of writing poems in Spanish?
No, I really haven't. And as I said this morning, I think it's hard enough to write in the language that you feel most comfortable in. And I do my thinking in English. I grew up speaking both, but I probably don't speak Spanish even once a week now. And so I don't feel that I have that fine sense that I would want to have. Now, I have thought that if I could spend time in a Spanish-speaking country for a while, if I could get to the point that I thought that I were thinking in English, I mean, thinking in Spanish, I'd tackle it. But until then, some people have been very good and very generous and have translated some of my poems into Spanish. Okay, and so I've read them that way, but I always credit them.
Yeah. You just mentioned the conservation of the ethnic heritage,
mm-hmm.
you put it. And don't you think that language is an important part of it? Or in what respect do you
speak to them? You know, I have very, very strong feelings about the minority writer and the importance of getting our story and our words as part of American literature. Mm-hmm.
What generation are you? How has that influenced your work?
or has that provided inspiration or generation in terms of your first generation?
Second generation, uh-huh. My father was born in Mexico and came to the U.S. when he was like 2 or 3, so really doesn't have many memories. My mother was born in the States. Both are bilingual. I grew up at a time when neither of my parents had grown up in an English-speaking home, but they wanted their children to. I was lucky in that I had a grandmother who did not want to learn English. And so I was very close to her, which is what kept me speaking Spanish, you know. And I would say that I view myself as really very much one of the lucky ones. I went to Catholic schools. I had, I think, wonderful grammarians as teachers and teachers that made me memorize a poem a week. And I think this is all a big part of my love for the English language. I have very strong love for it, okay? Now, I have very strong feelings about Spanish, too. But that's why, getting back to your answer, you see, for me to decide to write in Spanish, I think would not to be... you know, as I say, almost honest. I have a very strong loyalty to making English reflect a lot of what some of us are.
Yeah, but in your interview that appeared in the Wildcat, you said that children, Chicano children, they have a strong desire for imaginative literature that reflects their reality, literature in English. Don't you think there is a need for literature in Spanish too?
Sure, I do.
Mean, lots of them are still.
Sure, like, I do, but that's not my. I would just say that won't be my role. Mm-hmm. Okay, that I would say if I were going to pick a role, it would be to do the best writing that I could in English. That my feeling is, in terms of children's literature, that there are many Hispanic or Chicano children who find English very alien. Because the stories that they read, you know, the picture books that they grow up with, don't reflect any of their experiences. Well, how is that language going to be appealing? And so I'd like to be a part of changing that. Sure, I think there's need for the other.
Would you say something about the relationship between writing and
teaching? Well, I don't think of the desert in negative images, and I think a lot of people do, you know. And I particularly when I see people move into El Paso, you know, from the east, and they go through the usual stuff about no trees and how can you stand it, no water, and so dry and all this. And I think for me, the desert, and I know it sounds trite, but I'm going to give you, you know, my answer. Yeah, for me, it's really just a great teacher. That's how I feel about it. And, you know, when you live, I've spent my whole life in the desert, and that doesn't mean that I don't think I respond, you know, to another terrain. And if I could move to Hawaii, I imagine that I would write all kinds of poems about Frangipani, and that, you know, that'd be great. But it just happens to be where I am.
You conjure a lot of vivid images in your poem Frenzy. And I'm just wondering what true life experience you drew from that.
Oh, well, it was a pretty vivid experience. I mean, this was not a made-up one. A tour group was taken out to this place, and it was dark, and this outside of Havana, and there were maybe 20 of us, and the troop was very slow getting started that night. There'd been a blackout, and so we sat there and got more and more tired, and finally they came on the stage, and there was a lot of drums and a lot of for us, I think, as U.S. Americans, and I'm sure Eliana will demonstrate this for us now, a lot of very sensual dancing. I mean, really sensual dancing, you know, which kind of throws you off base anyway. And then the lead dancer was a very large Cuban, and he was very imposing, and I think he knew he was frightening, you know, and he would just look right at you, and you kept looking down and hoping he wouldn't pick you, and he would grab somebody and take them up on the stage, you know. And this kept going on all evening, and so you could just feel yourself getting more and more tense. And then they did do this chicken thing, you know, where someone bit the chicken's head. And it wasn't so much what they did. What fascinated me was just that building up of the frenzy. You know, both on the part of the dancers, there was, the building up the frenzy. They started out pretty loose anyway. But by the end, you know, the music was louder and the dancing was wilder. So there was a lot of frenzy on the stage. But on the part of those of us that were sitting there in the shadows, you know, trying to look like a stump of wood, you know, I mean, really, my mouth was dry and I kept thinking, you know, what am I going to do if he comes and grabs my hand? Am I really going to be willing to go on the stage? And luckily, I kept looking down and he never did. But it was really very, very strong images. Anything else? If not, I thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you very much.